I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's Ski at TSB Ski. He's King at Jeromney. Anything happened in sports this week? No?
I don't think so.
The weather's starting to change. You guys, how's your garden doing? Is it just about done? Is the weather changing, killing all of your plants?
I did not do a garden this summer. It's too busy.
Oh, good for you.
Yep. Didn't even try.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the history of the summers we've been having, I mean, it's sort of a miracle that all of our front yards aren't in flames at this point. So we'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, it was man, this string of 71 degree days just whew, set the state ablaze. My God, it's so hot. When I looked up at noon and saw it was 57 degrees, I was, woo, fanning myself off.
Make a man want to move to Alaska.
Woo!
Tired of this heat. So we should probably start with BYU and Oregon. And we should probably start with the University of Oregon. Because the University of Oregon issued a formal apology to BYU. Was it just BYU, or was it like the Church of Latter-day Saints? Were they mentioned?
I think it was just the university.
Just the university. Sure. Okay, fair enough. They did it because there was a video circulating on Twitter of like four or five students doing a fuck the Mormons.
A little pocket of students there.
A little pocket of students, the student section, which, by the way, is a little pocket of people anyways. Chanting, you know, fuck the Mormons. And I understand why they did it. Like, I get it. As a university, if there's something like that going around, what you have to do is issue an apology. I get it. As somebody who was actually on Twitter sometimes and saw the stuff that BYU fans had been doing leading up to the game, and knowing what we know about the culture around them, listeners can't see my face.
It was very soft by BYU.
Very soft.
Throw up so much of a stink.
Mentioned last week, because I cut off the conversation because we had so much to talk about last week. I mentioned last week that we would talk about BYU Twitter, because they were a fucking shit show all week leading up to the game, during the game, after the game. They're the least like by the way, we're Oregon followers. We're surrounded by and including some completely unself-aware fans. Like Oregon fan base is full of those. We know them, we see them, but BYU is up there, man. They don't acknowledge anything wrong. They don't. They're like your stereotypical like rich white religious male. They've never done anything wrong. They're the victim in every instance, and yet they have everything. It's unbelievable.
Religious zealots of any faith is that they are never wrong. It's everyone else attacking them are the ones in the wrong.
I got to the point where I was like, I was laughing just because of how ridiculous it was. And like, King, you were dealing with it on a way more than any of us, but
I stopped. I was
Had to, right?
I was done with them by like Tuesday last week. I was like, oh my goodness. And what was funny is there were three accounts that I just kind of found myself in a conversation with.
Right.
Not even like grossly trolling. And then I looked at like 5 p.m. on Saturday, because I do bookmarks. I take receipts.
Oh, yeah.
They all block me. And I never attack their religion. I never But I was like, your team is going to lose.
They saw what you were doing.
They knew what. Yeah. And I was blocked by the time Oregon won.
So yeah, on that's
the scary thing is that King said he didn't attack the religion. You easily could have.
Oh, I could have.
There are many things you could have attacked their religion for.
Going back to those, five or six students, if I was a college kid sitting next to them, would I have participated in Fuck the Mormons? I wouldn't have. Not because it's like a moral conundrum. I just don't think it's creative.
Right.
Lazy. Make a soaking joke, drink some tea in front of them. Okay.
Jump pumping. That's what I would have changed.
Yeah, but Fuck the Mormons is lazy. And I'm saying someone who 100% disagrees with the Mormon faith's mission statement. I'm not compatible with them at all.
Is this even the worst shit to come out of Oregon's student section? I remember a sign that said Tim Hardaway hates Ryan Appleby.
Yes. Yes.
That is an awful thing.
Way worse. That,
yeah. Yes. Every student section in the country. How many times have been a fuck the Huskies is a constant chant when we play the Huskies.
Yes. The thing is, this was just like what you guys said. It was a small pocket and someone just pulled out their camera. And fine, those guys are dipshits.
That's all that matters.
If they get banned for the year or whatever. But yes, Tim Hardaway hates Ryan Appleby. The pit crew telling Henry Bibby that his son Mike, your son hates you. The whole Kevin Love's
dad.
Court.
Yeah. We
have seen like much worse conduct. And this story got picked up by CNN.
It was main page of CNN. Insane.
Like, watch the video. It's
my father, who does not give a shit about sports, does not give a shit about the Ducks, sent me a text with a news story from that. I was like, fuck out of here.
I did not read the story. Did it even mention volleyball, the BYU volleyball thing from like 3 weeks before?
Of course not.
I didn't read the stories. I am not reading any of these.
No.
But I saw the video.
I doubt it did though.
Yeah. I was like, I saw the video, whatever. It was not a coordinated effort. And like, if one person says the N word, you got a problem.
Yeah.
Five guys say fuck the Mormons for 9 seconds.
That's a group of drunk friends.
It's not classy by any stretch, but no. Do we really need to,
You said it. It's not a coordinated effort. It's not the whole student section saying it.
That would be a thing.
That would be a problem.
And
it's a football game too. Every NFL Sunday, how many like drag out fights in the stands are there? Every game in the stands?
We're watching the Browns right now. How many Browns fans are walking around with like shirts and stuff saying that it's okay to rape people?
Oh my God.
Are you kidding
guys?
Me?
You guys saw those tailgating pictures from last week,
shit.
Right?
Yeah. Holy shit.
Why are you doubling down on that? Like aggressively doubling down.
You don't have
for a penny
and
for a
shirt.
Pound, I guess.
Because I'm of the opinion, like when Tyreek Hill was on Kansas City, it was only until like the last two seasons he was there where people kind of forgot what he was accused of. I've said this before on the pod. I never mentioned his name. It was like, tennis fast, blah, blah, blah. I don't like his accusations, but I'm not going to be aggressively like, ha ha, kick a kid in the face. That's rad.
Rip a kid's arm out of his socket. It's
I'm
going
to set up a tailgate with me throwing a woman downstairs.
Child protective services are weak.
Ooh. Yeah.
I just thought of a good shirt idea. It's the Jordan meme that says fuck them kids and says fuck them kids arms and just have Cheetah with doing the deuces.
Right.
In the Jordan face.
Right. Yeah.
That's the next TSB shirt.
Yeah.
And just doubling down on that is just so bizarre.
So weird.
Because I'm not here to say that the Kansas City fan base is like the most like saintly amongst us.
Well, I mean, you have a racist chant every game, but it's cool.
Well, but it's so fun. It's so good when you're in there.
I mean, it's still really racist, but yeah, okay. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it.
It's so good. Oh, get out of here! It's so great. It's so amazing. I don't even care that it's racist. It's so good.
Does it become somewhat acceptable if you just get rid of the chop? Like if it's just the drums,
just do the chant.
There's still the Chiefs. And it's just a drum beat that's... You get rid of the chopping motion.
And then the chant might be more racist. There's an argument.
All right, fair enough.
I'm just saying, hey, guys, watch a Braves game this October. You're going to be like, that looks cool.
Yeah. I've been watching them for like...
Racist? Yeah. It's racist, but it's cool.
It was great 30 years ago, too. by the way, speaking of the receipts thing you mentioned, there was that Utah fan who was on top of the whole thing all week. Like, I don't know if you followed him. I'm sure like you saw like retweets or something like that, but he called exactly what BYU fan was going to do throughout the whole week.
I did throw
it. And then when they did it after the game, he was like, see, I told you.
Yep.
Here it is.
I did see that guy.
So for instance, BYU fan after the game saying, "Oh, a bunch of Oregon fans threw beer on me after the game," and like all the Oregon fans are like, "That shit didn't happen, man. Oh, no, it fucking didn't." And sure enough, like the Utah fan had said this. He said it like 4 days before the game. He's like, "By the way, Oregon fan, I'm just gonna put a list of these things that BYU fans are definitely gonna do after this game's over." And sure enough, beer got thrown on me. They were yelling things at my wife. They
rolled your grandma in a wheelchair down the stairs. Yeah. Yes, that account was perfect.
And I
begrudgingly tip my cap because I don't like Utah right now. God damn, sure. They just beat us like 90-14.
Like a drum, but everybody was on the same. It did seem like that. It seemed like
a drum, you say.
Everybody hates BYU. Did you notice that?
Oh, everyone.
Everyone does.
I was thinking about it. There's no way BYU would win. But
like Washington fan too, by the way.
But if you put out a poll on what college fan base is most hated, you know, like Alabama and Ohio State are going to win. Well, Ohio State deserves it. They're fucking mutants.
Yeah.
But like for real reasons, BYU's like number one.
Kinda. I totally underestimated it coming into this week.
No one likes them. No one.
Literally nobody.
No one.
Was the Utah fan that was tweeting at, was that the same one that said he was gonna blow up a nuclear reactor if the Utes lost? Same guy or no?
It's different person.
Different person? All right.
I respect the passion.
Such a fantastic story. I fucking loved it.
I love that
blasted
story.
You have to be to call in a nuclear threat.
Yeah. Only if they lose. Only if they lose.
Oh, yeah, only if they lose. I'm going to go down and blow up a nuclear reactor.
And who did they play? Like San Diego State?
It was San Diego State.
Yeah.
By the way, that's how that story is how I learned that San Diego State has a nuclear reactor. Like, do they? Should they? Okay. We got to stop putting nuclear reactors on our coasts, by the way. That's something that probably should stop. Okay, so the game. We should probably talk about the game. Because the game was arguably more fascinating than all of that Twitter shit. And the Twitter shit was fascinating. But in this football game, we saw some shit that we had not seen for like 30 years. Maybe more, like for Oregon football. We saw quarterback sneak under center.
Under center, yeah.
We saw the eye back under center, eye back. We saw a fullback. We saw like a four tight end set.
We saw a five-star offensive lineman in the backfield.
Yes, we did. By the way, something we also haven't seen in 30 years, we saw a deep ball thrown. All right, that might be an exaggeration, But I mean, props, all the props on planet Earth to Kenny Dillingham. Like, that was masterful.
Was the first half one of the best halves of football you've seen in maybe since Chip against some shitty school, and they dropped like 50 spot in the first half?
Without
question. Well, it was
one of them.
Yeah, it was up there because that last possession of the second half was just. And granted, if they get stopped on a third and one, it all goes for naught.
Was that not the fourth? The one that went to fourth down? Or like
yes, yeah, but yeah, I'm yeah, saying right? like third or fourth and one.
So that they get before, stopped before the end, before the end of the first half, right?
Yeah,
they went for fourth down twice. They ran under center, did quarterback sneaks on that drive, and that was the drive with the deep pass too, wasn't it? Like the pass to Franklin, or was that a different one?
I think that was the drive before.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
I mean, there were a lot of good drives.
The last drive was just like a methodical movement of the ball, just it was. Perfection.
The last drive was the Chip Kelly at Cal drive in 2010.
9 minutes.
Yeah. 9 minutes, yeah. Yep.
I remember when we had our website, I wrote an entire blog post about that one drive. It broke down every single play, took pictures of it. It was a work of fucking art. They didn't even score.
They went
9 minutes and literally kneed on the like last play.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Yeah. Incredible. No, you're absolutely right. Like when they brought in Nix in the fourth after they had given up a couple of scores, and then Nix immediately took them on like a 7 minute drive to ice the game.
I appreciate the hubris, especially because it's BYU. But
I was pissed.
Pulling your starting quarterback with 4 minutes and five seconds left in the third against BYU, and they weren't going to lose. It was going to take a massive shot to the dick multiple times to lose. But
what I tell you in the text.
I know. We've seen them do that before. But that was a little much. That was a little early.
It's a little early.
It was one drive to work.
And what's crazy about it is we're all saying it was too early. But if I was to be like, no, it's defensible. You got to get that five-star sophomore in so he just gets some reps so he doesn't automatically transfer,
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not taking that angle. But if someone wanted to, you could be like, well,
That was an argument. Absolutely. At this point, am I crazy in being like, yeah, transfer?
I'm still too early on that because
Oregon's got a five-star coming in.
And I have a feeling Dante Moore is better than Ty Thompson.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't shoo him out of the program.
Because that pick wasn't really on him.
No. I don't know if even that first play was on him. It hit the guy right in the chest.
That was a dumb play design. And not a great pass, but a dumb play design.
I mean, it doesn't help you losing 20 yards on your first play in. You're stuck on the three. There goes that drive.
I mean, it was a terrible, like both of those were terrible play calls. The play call to seven where he threw it backwards was stupid. For the first time they've ran that like all year where he threw it like 10 yards behind him and then seven missed it. And then the pick was it was a dumb play design, whatever. The guy's right in front of him. He doesn't have to throw it like a billion miles an hour.
Yeah, he did throw a laser.
I mean,
Thornton, come on, man. You're a four star.
My question is like, have we seen what we're going to see of him?
Well, he missed a good chance there. I think if they leave Nix in for that last drive of the third quarter,
gets the whole fourth.
Even if they don't, he gets the entire fourth because there's no way BYU is going to come back in just a quarter like that. So maybe he gets a little group because he had, was it just two drives or did he get three?
No, just two.
Just a two. Yeah. I mean,
it was like four plays and BYU scored 13 points.
Not much of a rhythm to get into there.
Get out.
God, you like the difference between that offense when Nix and Thompson are in is so drastic. Like it's amazing. And and you know, I don't necessarily want to talk down on Thompson a lot. Like, I think you guys are right. I think the plays that set his drives back were not necessarily his fault. It's just, you see the confidence, like you see like the execution. It's so different.
Did you relive deja vu on Sunday? It was about the same thing when Jimmy G came in. All of a sudden, I mean, Lance in that offense doesn't look too great. Jimmy G comes in and like everyone's like, all right, I guess we're going to start playing for real now.
God, I want to talk about that so much. Let's wait on that. Because holy shit, Ski. It was night and day, Ski. Like did you see the quarterback sneak touchdown he got? Jimmy G did, where all his teammates go over to him and they're all hitting him and they're like, it's like our boy's back. Yeah. Shit.
But I think this showed that it feels like the offense is behind Nick's way more than they are Thompson. That's just
He's in control way more.
Yeah.
Like way more. So I don't know.
And again, this was
that's why he's a backup. Whatever.
And we said Nick's has his great games and is just not really in between games. And this just happened to be one of his pretty good games.
Speaking of Knicks, I can't remember. I think maybe it was Bill Connolly. I don't remember. There's way too many like analytics guys now where they did a thing where they're like quadrants of good offense, bad defense, good defense, bad offense, blah, blah, blah. And within it, he did like 10 breakdowns of games this Saturday. And one of them was Oregon Wazoo. And the breakdown, one of the breakdowns was like for Bo Nix, other than, you know, like two passes against Georgia. We haven't seen bad Bo Nix, but boy, was that really bad Bo Nix.
Oh, that second interception might have been the worst throw of the year, possibly.
Well, I think that one or the touchdown to Ferguson against Eastern Washington. Like, if we're being honest, we're both pretty bad.
That was a clenched butthole throw.
But overall,
okay,
I'm the Bo Nix experience. Not bad.
I mean,
so far so good.
Were you expecting this from Nix?
No. I don't know.
Was he at 10 touchdowns the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, but it's some of these are like the 2007 Tebow touchdowns where the 1 yard rushes. I'm not really going to get my
stat padding.
It's not like Kyler Murray touchdowns. Scrambling for 45 seconds from 9 yards
Fuck.
Out. Yeah, some of these it is what it is. But I'm not. This week will be a big tell though, because the Georgia game I'm gonna flush.
I think we said that after the game. That game is just a completely one off. Georgia in Atlanta, we thought we didn't know if they were gonna reload like they did, and they're fucking wagon.
They are. That's
just the fact.
They are Omar walking down the street to Baltimore.
Omar coming.
Omar coming.
Farmer in the Dell.
That's in Bennett coming.
You know how many touchdowns they've given up this year in three games?
Zero.
One.
Oh, South Carolina did score.
South Carolina got one garbage touchdown at the end. Now, so we didn't mention it when we talked about the Georgia game, but remember last year how their defense like took pride in that, how they had given up like two touchdowns all year going into the end of the season or something like that. And like, so I remembered that and then remembered back to the end of the Oregon game.
Brought that up.
Yeah. They didn't want Oregon to score. Nope. And the Kirby Smart was like cheering like crazy when they didn't give up a score. And I saw that during the game and I was like, man, that's kind of a dickish thing to do, isn't it?
Kirby's a dick.
Yeah.
And I don't say that in a bad way, but he's a dick.
But also, if you take pride in defense like that and you're as good as you are, you don't want to give up touchdowns. And
like, did you guys watch any of the first half of Georgia South Carolina?
No.
Okay.
Oh, isn't Spencer Rattler their quarterback?
Yes. That's right. So it was near the end of the second quarter and it was, 23-0, but it felt like 40-0 or whatever it was. And South Carolina went for, like a 4th-and-4 or something near midfield. and they didn't get it. It wasn't even close. 17 defenders somehow tackled the Gamecock guy. And Kirby Smart, it literally looks like he's looking at Shane Beamer across. And he was like, fuck you, motherfucker. Our fucking ball. Get that weak shit out of here, you fucking bitch. And ESPN was just like, nope, can't show Kirby anymore. And it was the game. It was the second quarter. The game was over. But he was just like, you have the gall. You have the unmitigated balls to go for fourth down in midfield on me? On me? And he was just cussing him out. It was, yeah, he's a dick. And I mean that in a good way. But boy, Kirby Smart, you're an asshole. Even more than Saban.
Yeah, sign me up for all of that. Give me some of that on my teams, please. That's all I want is that. Yeah,
it was just, well, it was just like the in just, he was so offended they would even try to win.
Love it. Love it.
The problem is that I don't know if that rubbed off on Lanny, because I don't think he takes out his quarterback in the third quarter that way.
Well, Georgia took out Stetson Bennett in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter against Oregon.
What was that? 30?
Scores were probably pretty similar, to be honest.
Were they similar?
Maybe Georgia was up by like 7 points more. So it was 38. It was 38-7 when they pulled Knicks.
Yeah, going into the fourth, it was 38-7.
Yeah.
And then they scored twice in a row. And then you're like, hey, Oregon, stop it. Alamo Bowl. Stop it.
To revisit a last week conversation.
Yeah.
Is Bucky the number one running back?
Oh, Bucky. What a great name change, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I love the midweek name change.
I know. Fantastic. It's so good.
I don't know, because Cardwell, we found out Cardwell was out, even though...
Yeah, he was injured.
We're like, where is Cardwell? We didn't know he was out for the game, but I mean, he's the clear one right now.
By far. Yeah. But so again, we've mentioned before, like, Cardwell is the more physically talented running back. He just is. But the way Bucky runs, give me all of it, man. He's tiny. Like, he's limited. He's not super duper fast. But the way he runs and the way he gets yards, it's effective. So who cares? He was great against BYU.
It was interesting. Yeah. The split in him, I think Whittingham, I think they had about the same amount of touches. So I was a little surprised at that.
And yeah, then, Irving
and then
had
someone named James was the hammer at the end.
Yeah, Irving had 14, yeah. Whittingham had 13, and James had 6. So,
yeah,
nice little combination. They were around 200 yards between all three of them. So that will work. That will work.
When your quarterback's
your quarterback's going 13 of 18 for 222, that will work.
We said last week, I don't really want us to get to a three-headed backfield. Like, if Cardwell comes back, I don't want him to, you know, each get 9 like this.
Well,
it should be
James stops playing probably.
Yes, yeah,
yeah.
James.
Yeah, but that was only what 6 carries. Unless that's just Whittingham gets 6 carries there, I'd be fine with Cardwell Bucky split like that with, you know, some toss in Whittingham. I'm just not high on Whittingham, I guess, is what I'm saying.
He's all right, but yeah, he's
all, yeah. It's he. There's nothing exciting about
him. He shouldn't be more than a 5 carry a game.
Yeah.
Guy,
but. So hopefully that's what it kind of goes to.
What was your main complaint coming out of the BYU game? Because I have mine, Bridges.
Oh,
yeah, Bridges is still not good. Yeah. He's gonna get picked on. As the Pac-12 season goes on a lot.
Yes, he is.
Because you know who throws a lot? Every single Pac-12 team.
Yep.
All of them.
Even Stanford now.
Yeah, everybody throws. So, good luck.
Yeah, he is. I thought the defense as a whole, pretty good. Pretty good.
Well, yeah. So, again,
if you take out Bridges, pretty good.
Again, pulling Knicks screwed up their entire rhythm. Like, it screwed up the offense, and then the offense sucked, so it put the defense in really bad field position on both of those scoring drives. Like, they were horrible field position. Like, they deserved better, because the defense really did play well during the game, you know, other than a couple plays by Bridges. But, like, those plays don't happen if they're not put in bad positions by the horrible offensive play when they pulled Knicks. So, whole team.
I'm not sure if it was just how the game was, that kind of got to a pretty good lead, but I think they only gave up like 50 yards rushing.
Yeah, maybe
61.
Maybe
61.
Even.
Okay.
61 yards rushing.
61.
And then yeah. That was without Flo. And
it was.
And Sewell, who was very, very limited. He didn't play a lot of snaps. He
hasn't done anything this year, really.
No, he, well, you know, I saw something. I saw a clip of like a Mosley thing. Because I don't really pay. Like I said, I don't do the state-run media stuff.
That Oregon propaganda?
No. Yeah.
But like, he doesn't even, Sewell doesn't even really practice. And he hasn't since August. He's just like generally sore and hurt.
Okay. I thought Bossa played real well at linebacker.
He did. Dorless played really well too.
Dorless did. What's his name? Ex tight end.
DJ Johnson.
DJ Johnson.
That one fourth down stop he had where he loops all the way around and catches Jalen Hall from behind.
Yeah.
Woo. He's not consistent, but he's a flasher.
Yeah, I did not have that on my bingo card of him being a weapon on defense.
All right, we should probably talk some NFL real quick.
I do not want to talk NFL.
Yeah, no. We're not going to talk about the Colts because the Colts are the worst team in the NFL other than the Bengals, I guess.
Hey, I'm a Chiefs fan. Bet the farm on the Colts straight up on Sunday. That's peak NFL.
It really
plus,
is.
Plus, you know, they're
that,
plus
that
like
that line
6.5.
Is too suspect right there. Yeah.
Going into Indy, you start 0-3. You're officially kind of done statistically.
They fire the head coach for sure.
First off, it'd be 0-2-1.
Oh, that's okay. Well, that changes everything.
Yeah. Big difference.
Chiefs cover.
Yeah.
I mean, this spread should be 17, honestly.
Chiefs, I
would love to see the last 17-point spread in the NFL.
On the road, 17-point favorites is what it should be.
Again, Chiefs are going to win by like 6 scores.
Yeah.
Tua Mania, though, 6 touchdowns, like 500, how many yards? Like 469 yards. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
28-3 in the fourth to beat the Ravens. Holy shit. Did you watch any of that? Because I was full on red zone.
I was red zone.
Not good secondary play
no.
by the Ravens.
Yes. Once I saw that they had two rookie safeties and a rookie corner in the fourth quarter because everyone got injured, I was like, oh, it makes a little more sense. Granted, Hill and Waddle, they're great. But, that makes a little more sense.
There is one job for the Ravens safeties. Do not let Hill get behind you with just effortless ease. Yeah. And he did it twice.
It's easier said than done, but also, yeah, hey, Ravens, you know what Waddle and Hill do? They run really fast, and they run straight. So maybe watch out for that. I don't know. Put a couple safeties back there. No, not there. Farther back there, because that's what they're going to do.
He did try to miss Tyreek on that first one. It just got there.
He was
just
so open.
He was so open. The second one didn't matter because no one was in 30 yards of him.
Ran by
but that
two
first
guys.
One. Yeah. It was a good Sunday of football. That and the Jets Brownies game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the Thursday game was great too. The Chiefs Chargers?
Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert throws a pick six. Loser. Stat compiler. Better looking Phillip Rivers. Justin Herbert, you're a loser.
He's got a little bit less of a derpy face than Phillip Rivers.
Yeah,
I'll give
he
him
does.
That.
No, yeah. No. Justin Herbert's good looking. All right.
And about a dozen less kids. So got that,
that we know of.
Yeah. That we know of.
Speaking of the Church of Latter-day Saints. Actually, but, I don't know if he's Mormon.
Hey, they still covered. Herbert still got the cover there.
Yeah, he's
covering at the end.
Did still get that sneaky cover.
Son of a bitch.
Credit where it's due, too. He was like, he was a badass in the fourth quarter, like playing with a rib injury, like the way he did, where he threw the he just turfed the ball because he couldn't run. That play was amazing. On third down, by the way, he runs like 4 feet and sits down because there's no defenders anywhere near him, and he gets a first down. But instead, he just like throws it into the turf because he can't run.
Was that his sophomore year where he got his ribs fucked up?
Collarbone.
It was against Cal, I think.
Yeah, it was a goal line thing.
Someone today brought up that he's dealt with this injury before. I don't. It might have been involved with that collarbone injury too. It could have been in high school, I guess, maybe or something.
No, high school, he broke his leg, and that was it.
I remember that. He's out there.
Injury prone. Right now, so. Injury prone. Make the playoffs. Do it in January. Bust.
I don't think injury prone applies when you're breaking bones. I don't think that counts.
Speaking of busts, Justin Herbert's bones.
Brittle.
No, before we move on, it's
good
week
win,
two.
Chiefs. Good win,
it's,
Chiefs.
It's week two. Yeah. I expect the Chargers to still win the West, blah, blah, blah. I still think the Chiefs go further in the playoffs, but whatever. Oregon fans, I said it before, I'm not going to go into it. Chill on the Herbert stuff.
Did you
chill?
Did you get into your seats after that game?
I tried, and I was just like, you're just going to show me throw against the Giants. I don't care. Like,
Mahomes was very average in that game.
Yes, but he had four amazing throws, and they were up by 10 with 40 seconds left,
and they won.
So I
hear you.
So it's cool to have a quarterback that doesn't have to play his best to beat the most talented roster in the league, apparently.
Okay, we should get to line soon. Before we do, though, we should talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, because it was the weirdest thing. Like, we sort of talked about it a little bit earlier. Like, it was the weirdest thing as a 49er fan watching that happen, because I said it earlier, it was instantaneous how the team turned around. Like, the offense, like we talked about it, you know, with the opener against the Bears, how the offense wasn't great. But then again, it was a monsoon, so who knows? Like, Lance could have been great against them. But he wasn't great to start the game against Seattle. And then he gets hurt, and then Jimmy comes in and throws a touchdown right away and is really super duper efficient. And, you know, later he runs for a touchdown, and the offense, you know, the team just sort of flipped on its head how they were sort of into the game, how they seemingly were very excited that he was playing. Not so much that Trey got hurt, but they were very excited that Garoppolo was their quarterback. And then sort of some of the conversation afterwards was like the players sort of, the team, as we've said, is ready to win now. And the team looks at Jimmy as having won for them, and so is ready to win now. And they weren't super duper excited about having a quarterback who is a future investment, who is not.
Yeah, he's their best. Ready. Yeah, Garoppolo's their best chance to win
right now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah,
but now the problem. I mean, if you're a Niner fan, now you're. If you look past this season, I do not know what you guys do.
No idea.
If you try to keep Jimmy, might try to get $500 million from you guys if you try to re-sign him. And Lance, I don't know how you come back from that. I mean, the injury aside, I don't know how you come back from your team, like you said, kind of happy that you are no longer their quarterback.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that. It's happy that Jimmy is the quarterback. So, you know what I mean? Like, there is a difference between being happy that Trey's not the quarterback and that Jimmy is the quarterback. You know?
It's pretty much the same thing.
It's not. There is a line there. Because saying it's the other way is them being happy that Lance got hurt. And they're not. But they also, you know, it was weird. Because, you know, and I say that the team flipped on its head was sort of a grain of salt, because we also saw the other Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's still throwing
some arm punts, like making very questionable throws right at defenders. And, you know, so.
Well,
he still definitely has his limitations, but
the play calls open back up. Yeah. There's a whole different scheme when Lance is your quarterback. He can't make the same throws Jimmy can.
He can't.
And he's a much better runner, so that's probably about 5 or 6 plus plays schemed just to him running. So if you're a receiver, you're happy. That's 6 more plays you might get the ball thrown your way.
The thing that really pissed me off after the game is the narrative, and it's, you know, most of it's coming from one guy. There's a guy named Grant Cohn who covers the 49ers who's ridiculous.
Such a fantasy killer here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Meaningless 0 time on the clock defensive touchdown for the Brownies.
For the Browns?
Oh, yeah, some people are
the lateral play.
Yeah.
Oh, is this going to be a bad beat?
I think they had the cover still, but
oh my god, a fumble on a lateral recovered for a touchdown by the Browns. Literal last play of the game too. That's great. I forgot what I was saying. Oh yeah, so Grant Cohn writing about his narrative after the game, and a couple people fans picked up on it because fans see shit on Twitter and they're like, oh yeah, that's also my idea, even if it's dumb. Where Shanahan basically caused the injury by running Trey Lance too much. You know, it's quarterbacks, you can't develop them if you're running the ball too much, and it's blah, 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 blah. Here's how not to develop a quarterback by Kyle Shanahan. It's like, okay, the reason they traded 3 picks, do I really need to say this? The reason they traded 3 picks to get Trey Lance is because he's athletic. The reason they're not moving forward with Jimmy Garoppolo is because he's a Greek statue in the pocket. Like, it's literally that simple. Kyle Shanahan likes to run the ball. He moved up and got a running quarterback.
Look at the top quarterbacks right now.
All of them.
Rodgers, he moves in the pocket pretty good.
Okay, no. Rodgers and Brady out of the conversation. They're not included in this. The good young ones.
All of them.
Good young quarterbacks.
Even Herbert. Herbert's not, I wouldn't say Herbert's a great runner. He can, but that's not his skill. But
not his game.
He's nimble enough to move around in the pocket.
He's not doing the Josh Allen thing.
No, he's not Josh Allen. No.
God, there were people saying. But he's not Josh Allen. Josh Allen's got like 20 pounds on. 20 pounds? What are we talking about?
And what's so funny is that, we'll move on from this right after I say it.
Yes.
But in 3 years, people are going to be like, man, Josh Allen took on linebackers way too often when he was young. That's going to be a thing.
Well, they say it already.
Tim Lincecum, he throws too hard, right?
Hey, Josh Allen, it's okay to slide. You don't need to get, run into people. That's what Burrow does. Burrow keeps trying to, run through guys, too. It's like, hey,
and it's so you're dumb.
Injury prone. Get down.
Yeah.
Get out of bounds.
Did you guys not see Cam Newton?
Yeah. I mean, if it's third, if you're right at the first down marker, sure. If it's a needed yard to get.
But Allen challenges guys on first and 10
for no reason.
Yard past the line of scrimmage.
That is your argument about Lance. That's the argument you should be making, Grant Cohn. Shut the fuck up. I fucking hate that guy so much. God damn it. I spell his name with 2 Q's for a reason.
I wonder who's the bigger – who do you think is the bigger Bay Area troll? Grant Cohn or that Dieter Kirkenbach guy?
I don't even know who that is.
Oh my god!
Is Wilner's in the Bay, isn't he?
Yeah,
he
but is. No, no, but Bay like Area Dieter, trolls. Dieter Let's and go. Cohn, like Dieter, I think is Warriors, and he was Raiders.
That's right. Mm. Now I remember him, the Warriors reporter. That's right.
He's the guy who, like, a couple on week one was saying every team should play in a dome under grass. And literally, 2 seconds after he tweeted this, Harrison Butker's ankle exploded on grass top. Under a dome.
Or on grass, yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, ah, kickers don't count.
But again, that's the argument you can make about Lance, is he needs to slide. But again, that is on him. He's the one, the run plays are going to get called because he's an athlete. That's the reason they went up and got him. It's because he can throw a little bit, but he's super duper athletic, and they want to develop him as a passer.
But did he really get blown up on
not
that
at all.
Run? It was no, just
he
a freak.
He was getting down on it. Yeah, it was just like a freak. He was turtling up. Yeah.
He was going down because he knew he was about to get hit, and then his foot went the wrong way.
Yeah, I don't know how you could say that and then look at all the other quarterbacks. Like, I have Miles Sanders on my fantasy team. I yell at Jalen Hurts all the time, like, why are you running so much? Get hurt. I want that to happen.
Get the ball to Sanders.
But no one is saying Sirianni's, like, running Jalen Hurts too much.
Nobody says that about any other quarterback. You know who runs the ball too much? Fucking Lamar Jackson runs the ball way too much.
Well, I think the Ravens are actually saying that by not giving him the contract.
Oh, yeah. That is true. Yeah,
stop and then he's hand the ball off more. Literally anybody else, take the ball, please.
Well, for was it first guy with a 75-yard passing and rushing TD in the same game? Not too pretty shabby. If they don't lose that game, all the talk is about Lamar this week.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit like the rest of the 49ers team.
A little banged
it's
up.
It's like, oh man, so the future took a really big hit. Like, that sucks. Like, not good. But for this year, I'm feeling okay. You know, I've seen Jimmy take my team to a Super Bowl. I've seen him take him to the NFC Championship last year. You know, he didn't necessarily take them to those places, but he was the quarterback when they went there. So we'll see.
Oh my God. Oh, it's my now God. Time for your TSB Fantasy Football Update. Ah, what a week it was for the TSB Fantasy Football League.
You know what? I don't care that it's loud. Make it loud.
Like everyone says, you can't win your fantasy league in week two, but you sure can lose it. Hey, this team rules goes to 2-0 after a rousing win against the Donkey Puncher, 8-2-4. Bo knows, and Charles in Phoenix dropped to 0-2. Uh-oh, the Upchucks followed up a loss to who? To me with a win. So do they have a chance? Oh, no, they don't. They have Trey Lance.
Oh.
DJ Dogwater.
You know who you sounded like just now?
DJ Dogwater has Russell Wilson as his starting quarterback. That's it. That's the joke.
They lose to me. You sounded like the Riddler from the Batman movie.
Is 1-1. And all I can picture is Brett Bielema rubbing his nipples. Speaking of his boobs, Kyrie Irving, what a boob. And that's your week two TSB Fantasy Football Update.
Do you even mention that I'm 2-0?
I did not.
Convincingly? Jeez, what are we doing here?
You mentioned I ran into the buzzsaw of Tyreek.
This is like a Fox News fantasy football report.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, no, just
one-sided.
Picking the stats he wants.
Yeah, he's picking and choosing.
Guys, I'm
he's getting worse.
Just getting news. We have
there's a paper that was passed over to him.
Guys, we have a trade. A trade has just gone through in the TSB Fantasy Football Update. League, whatever.
League.
This team rules gets Baltimore tight end Mark Andrews.
Oh boy.
And is trading to the Upchucks Jalen Hurts and Gabriel Davis.
Wow.
Jesus.
This
Talk
is
about a coup
Jerami
right there.
TSB.
That's a steal. Stealing the best tight end in the NFL.
sources are close saying people are like, why would you trade Jalen Hurts? And he says, because he's his second quarterback. Jeromny, TSBN.
Let's definitely spend more time talking about our fantasy football league. Let's definitely
TSBN.
Jeromny Schaap.
Brought to you by the Silver Bullet. The Silver Bullet. All right, let's do lines.
Lines.
Sing the song.
Lines, lines everywhere, lines. Skin's fumbling his cocaine. He can't do lines. He's shoving it down his throat. Lines.
Lines.
All right. Well, you two. Little bounce back week here for you guys.
Bounce back week. Shout out to Mike Booble.
Speaking of cocaine.
Shout out to Mike Booble. Shout out to Mike Booble. Thank you for keeping track.
How about, problem is, I had to do a little
correction
here. I had to do a correction on old Booble. His math, not quite right.
I was just going to ask you if you were actually keeping track or just going by what he says. I'm glad to hear that you're actually doing that.
So you guys both went 9-3 last week.
Damn right.
You guys are both 0-3 on your star picks. I got our first star pick of the year this week. So I was 6-6, which brings the yearly total. King, you are in last place. You are 21-15. Braga, you are 23-13. And I am 27-10. So narrow the gap a little bit.
Wait a minute. I'm not trusting your math here. How did you just open up the floodgates by like 10 on both of us?
I was 20-4 coming into the week.
He was ahead by more coming into this week.
Yeah. I went 6-6. You guys gained only 2 on me because I got the star pick. So like I said, you cut it down a little bit. But let's see. All right. So we are into the full Pac-12 schedule now. So I added in 2 other games so you guys could try to catch up.
Wow. So appreciate it.
First game, Kings Bruins, 21.5 point favorites against the worst team in college football, the Buffaloes.
My Bruins.
I mean, I star picked Minnesota last week to just throttle Colorado. I am star picking the Bruins as well.
What's the line?
21.5.
Oh, UCLA all day. Even though UCLA like really struggled
against that. Yeah, they played 2 directional Alabama schools. Yeah, the no other heard of it.
The other direction. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said UCLA, Braga. I said
star pick.
Or did you make it star pick as well?
Are we all star picking that one?
Yeah, I'm pulling my star pick.
Okay.
Are you?
Oh, so you are not going to pick them?
Yeah, I'm pulling them. I'm picking UCLA, pulling the star pick back.
Okay, because I was going to pull mine too.
I got to chase points.
But so I will star pick then. If Kings,
all right, I am star picked as well. Yes. All right. Next game we got Braga's Wildcats.
Yeah, my cats.
Your cats, they're going to Cal, and the Fighting Wilcoxes are 3.5 point favorites.
Riding that Arizona sunset into the desert or something with a cat. Arizona.
All right, I am Cal.
Roll on, you Bears.
My cats beat North Dakota State last week. Nobody beats North Dakota State. Go Cats.
Go Cats. All right. Here's the interesting one. Well, I'll get into why it's a cheat. We got USC 6.5 point favorites against the Beavs. I saw something where
I'm picking like last year. I just want to see
where like 83% of the money is on the Beavers right now against UCLA or against USC. And I am taking USC.
Fucking, are you kidding me? Like USC. Come on.
Oregon State straight up.
Ooh.
I love it. Does he get a bonus point if they just
win? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because he ain't getting it if they don't cover now. It's 2-0. All right. Let's see where we at. Oh God. All right. Next game, we got Utah, 15.5 points against the harmless ASU.
In Tempe
In
or
Tempe. In Tempe. Are
I'll go
they
you I'll go Utes.
Utes? Are they gonna be better without Herm?
Doesn't this
No.
feel like Arizona State covers? They don't win, but they cover.
Well, that's like a Utah thing for sure.
That is
Yeah.
Utah hasn't, for all the hype they were getting, they don't look great.
Yeah, that Florida loss is not looking fantastic.
No, I am taking Utah as well, though.
I get
I
Arizona
cannot
State. I
back.
got Arizona State
Oh,
covering. I'm picking them
yeah,
to cover.
you just love the Arizona schools, don't you?
Living
For a
that,
guy who hates the sun, you're
I
a real
know,
big
I know.
baseball fan.
Exactly. It's not
All
that I
right.
hate it. That I'm not made for it. My skin hates it.
You're just built different than
I'm built
Arizona.
different.
Built different. We're built different here.
Goddamn
Right.
right.
Next up, we got Stanford going to UW. UW 13.5 points.
UW.
They look really good right now. Like Washington is legitimately good at football right now, and
That's why I
it
am
doesn't make me
taking
feel
Stanford.
good. You got Stanford?
Yes, for that reason. This is Stanford's. They're so fucking annoying. This is a game they might. I think they might even win,
Well,
but I think it'll be a close
I
game.
feel like Stanford's next week is when they're annoying
Oh, that's
because
next
they're an
week's this.
Autzen.
So Washington is previous year's Oregon against Stanford, is what you're
Yes,
saying.
that's what
I
I'm
hear
saying.
you. I hear you. I'm still picking Washington.
All right.
No, just as a quick aside, the difference between UW Twitter beating number 11 at home on Saturday and Oregon being number 12 at home, vastly different. UW Twitter, like literally be like, yep, we would
String
have
up the
beaten.
banner.
No, I've seen a big thread where like we would have beaten Michigan last year because they lost by like 40 at Michigan last year.
Yeah.
With this team, we would have beat Michigan last year off the heels of beating number 11. And Oregon fans drub number 12. We're just like, I don't really know. It's just a different little vibe.
No. Also didn't help. I mean, getting your teeth kicked in week one, you kind of get
Yeah.
brought down to earth real
Hey,
quick.
hey,
So
hey,
that
hey, I would, I trust me. I would have much rather played Kent State at
Yeah,
home
oh
than Georgia and Atlanta.
dumbest scheduling ever. All right. First throw-in game. King brought him up. We got Florida going to Tennessee. Tennessee, 10.5 point favorites.
Oh, Rocky Top, you'll always be home, sweet home to me. Oh, Rocky Top. Woo! Yeah, Rocky Top. Yeah, it's got to be Tennessee. Florida stinks.
I'm on the balls as well. Florida
Yeah,
does stink.
same.
Do we need a?
Tennessee and Washington are good. What the hell's going on?
I
What?
wouldn't necessarily say Tennessee is good.
They're good.
Florida's not good.
Florida's not good, but Tennessee is actually good this year.
I was gonna say is it's got that. I'm pretty sure you made a YouTube video as like a Vols fan king from like
I did one like 10
Wow.
years
Yeah.
ago.
Flashback. Yeah.
You might have to dig that one up and pin that tweet here
I might
if
have
Tennessee
to.
wins, because
I
it's
will.
golden.
Yeah, I will.
Wow. Man, that is a callback and a half,
That is a
Scotty.
callback. Yeah.
Jeez.
Braga, who'd you take? Do you take Tennessee as well?
I did.
All right. Then the next one, the mighty ACC matchup, Clemson and Wake. Clemson, 7.5 point favorite.
Have no idea. I don't know anything about either of these teams.
Ugh. Is
All I
it
know
at
is
Clem? Sorry, is it at
it
Clemson
is
or?
no, it is in Wake.
I'm gonna go
And
Wake. I'm gonna go
I am
Wake.
taking Wake. I'm taking Wake as well. I cannot back DJ Ungulalalele.
He
He is
is
bad.
such a
He is a
hard watch.
I'm picking Clemson. Make Wake your star pick, King, you coward.
I'm making the I made the Beavs my star pick.
Oh,
didn't
you?
Yeah, that's his. Yeah, that's his money line triple stamped star pick.
Straight up star winner. Pick. Wow.
Woo. In Woo. Front of 25,000 rabid fans in Lynn Benton.
All right, and the last one. Benton. Yeah.
By the way, I have called high school football games in that fucking soccer stadium before. Beavs should feel bad about playing in Providence Park. That is, I realize your stadium's being worked on. That is small time. I'm generally behind you, Beavers, but that is sad.
Joe's going to be heated.
That is
He's going to send you texts. Oh, Beaver Joe is going
to
be mad.
I guarantee you.
Would you say that to Beaver Joe's face?
He agrees
say it to
with
his
me.
Face.
I guarantee you he agrees with
no,
me.
No, he doesn't. Beaver
I'll
Joe,
send you,
stand up for
I
yourself,
will
Joe.
Send you the text. That shit was sad. And you should feel sad. Providence Park here, playing a college football game in Providence Park. Stop it.
All right. Last game, Ducks. They're a touchdown and a half favorite against the Cougs. Ooh, who wants to go first here? Because all the talk was that aren't the Cougs just getting shafted there? Aren't they the best team in the Pac-12 right now?
Which Knicks are we going to see, boys?
Guess what? What's the temp going to be in the Palouse this weekend?
72 degrees.
Yeah. It ain't cold. Knicks loves the heat. Give me the Ducks.
I got Ducks, too.
I will be at Martin Stadium on Saturday, so
ooh,
go
ooh.
Ducks.
My guy. Yeah. You're going to wear those? You're going to wear the icy white?
No.
You're going to bleach all your clothes?
No, probably not.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm rolling up to the wheat fields of the Palouse. And I'm ready to go. Ready to go. Got Bush Light and Cougar Gold on hand.
Do you bring a sock full of pennies to fight off those rabid Coug fans?
Nah, just piss bags.
Just piss bags? All right. That's
like the
sorry,
like
Trudy.
Like
you
like
might
home,
be
yeah. like Homie the Clown. You're gonna roll up there like Homie the Clown?
Tennis balls. Yeah, some tennis balls rolled in a sock to
Homie the Clown. Dudes. Don't mess around.
Jerome, don't play that.
Oh, that's so good. Best thing we've ever done as a podcast, guys. Nice work.
So, like, I know we're moving on, but I think Oregon might win by, like, 2 touchdowns. I really do.
I haven't watched the Cougs this year at all. I've looked at stats. I haven't watched them.
No,
though,
their
so.
Defense is good, but they're small. Yeah. They're really fast, but they're small. But that Cam Ward guy who came from Incarnate Word.
We'll see, man.
I just saw his stats, you know, no so idea. I was like, oh, whatever. I thought he was, like, athletic. It's his fifth year in college. He's net plus 61 yards rushing in his career.
Yeah, he's not.
He doesn't move. I think Oregon's. Yeah, I think Oregon.
Yeah. We'll see who's back for Oregon too. Like if Flo's back, if Cardwell's back,
if Flo's back.
We'll see.
No. This all just hangs on Flo's the shoulder. It can't be the dog shit Knicks game.
How do you prepare for Oregon now? Like after watching what they did against BYU, how do you prepare for their offense? Like they went fucking eye back with three tight ends and a fullback. Like what? And then they also went deep to Franklin. They spread it out. They still threw to Ferguson. Like, how do you prepare for them?
We didn't talk about Dillingham at all.
I got nothing. I gave him props, but we didn't really talk about it. I mean,
because no, we, like I said, we threw out that Georgia game. We didn't know what Dillingham was after that game. I think these last, I mean, and then Eastern Washington, they're FCS school. They don't count. This one was like, all right, this is kind of the first showing of what Dillingham, he wants his offense to look like. And, I mean, it was new for us.
Yeah.
It was different.
It's interesting. It's an interesting look.
I love the quarterback sneak so much. As a Niners fan, Jimmy G taking what he learned from Brady, like there's not a more automatic play in college football, NFL, the quarterback sneak, man, it works.
Yeah, you know, yeah. ask Brandon Staley on 4th and 1.5 at the 50 and punting instead of sneaking with a 6'9" mutant Justin Herbert. Coward.
Quarterback sneak.
Coward.
Oregon ran a quarterback sneak several times. They scored a touchdown with a quarterback sneak. Fucking, it's so great to see. You love to see it. Kenny Dillingham, I tip my cap that I'm not wearing to you. Listener didn't need to know that I wasn't actually wearing a hat.
Yeah.
But, all right. Should we do trivia? Let's do a quick trivia. So did you win last week? No. You
did. I did. It was an upset.
You did.
Upset. Yeah. It was a week of upset. So I got that one.
It's 2-1. King leads on the season in trivia. So you won, Ski. You get to go first.
Hey.
Which Washington State running back set the single season rushing record with 1,900 yards and 16 touchdowns?
Wazoo's like the one school where their running backs, I just don't. Max Borgie, that's all I got.
Okay. Do you know, King? Without the options? I'll give you the options.
Yes.
Max Borgie, Jerome Harrison, or Reuben Mays.
Oh, see, it was the Reuben Mays ones. I'm going to say Jerome Harrison.
The answer is Jerome Harrison.
The Reuben Mays one threw me off.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that might actually.
Year.
I thought that might. All right, King. At this point, we all know Dolph Lundgren, famous Coug, studied chemical engineering for 1 year in Pullman. There's a cartoonist who received Washington State's Distinguished Alumni Award in 1990. He created the Far Side comic. What's his name?
Boy, it's a bad miss. I'm the guy
I bet
standing
you know
next
it.
To the... Jesus, I don't remember his name, but it's going to piss me off.
Ran for nearly 20 years.
Yeah, I know. It's a great comic. I just don't know his name.
Well, great is it's a stretch, but Ski, your
Dilbert.
Your options.
It's not Dilbert.
It's not Cappy.
Family circus guy over there.
BYU, big family circus crowd. Oh, yeah. Ski, your options. Gary Larson, Jim Davis, or Bill Watterson?
Pretty sure it's not Jim Davis, so the first guy, Larson.
Gary Larson is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Bill Watterson did Calvin and Hobbes, obviously.
Oh.
Skeet, believe it or not, Washington State has a national title to their name, not voted on or officially recognized by anyone. But Washington State Senate approved a resolution in 2014, naming the 1915 Cougs, who went 7-0 and won a Rose Bowl, as the national champions, according to them. It was the second ever Rose Bowl played. Washington State won it over a Ivy League school from Rhode Island. Which school is that? Ivy League school. In Rhode Island.
Got it. Is it Cornell?
It's a good guess. Your options, King. Cornell,
nope,
Brown,
that's in Pennsylvania,
or
isn't
Dartmouth.
It?
From what state?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. And what are the, give me the options again?
Brown or Dartmouth? Or Cornell, which Ski guessed.
Brown.
Brown is the answer. Nice.
I think Chris Berman went there.
Throw out the records. Cougs and Brown. King, who is Washington State's all-time leader in wins as a head coach?
Mike Price?
Incorrect. Ski, your options. Mike Price, Babe Hollingberry or Mike Leach?
Tim Rosenbaum.
I don't know who Hollingberry is, but I'm the two I'm going to go with.
Babe Hollingberry is the correct answer. 93, 53, and 14 ties as a head coach. He stopped coaching. He would have more, by the way. He stopped coaching because of World War II.
What a patriot.
He taught Army troops how to be Army people.
That's also, right before we stopped losing wars, huh?
He also started a hops company that still exists. It's Hollingberry and Sons Hops in Yakima.
Clever name.
Yeah. Not just a clever name. They, in fact, make hops, and they are named Hollingberry and his sons.
And his sons.
Still run the company, by the way. Ski. So, yes, Ski got that right. Tied it too. Ski, who holds the Cougs' single game record for passing yards and touchdowns? Actually, it's just passing yards, I believe. Yards. 734 in a single game.
Was that Connor Halliday?
That was Connor Halliday. 2014 against Cal.
Yeah.
You know who tied that record in 2016? For a bonus point. Both of you. Bonus point. Who
just
tied
in all
that
of college
record?
Football?
Yep, all of college football.
What year was that?
2016. Tied the record. All of college football.
Jared Goff.
Mitch Trubisky.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick
against
Mahomes.
Against Oklahoma, right?
Against Oklahoma.
And they still lost by like 14.
Baker Mayfield beat him. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Bonus point for King. Game. Each of you got a point on that one. You're tied at three. Let's go. let's see. Whose turn is it?
King's.
King's turn, because you got that one right. Okay. King, who was Washington State's all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns?
Rivers Craycraft.
River Craycraft is not the answer.
That's not it? Oh, shit.
It's not it.
That's what I was thinking.
Not even an option. Ski, oh, your options. Gabe Marks, Marquise Wilson, or Jason Hill?
Don't remember Jason Hill. Gabe Marks. He's annoying. He probably did it.
Gabe Marks is correct. 316 catches, 3,453 yards, and 37 touchdowns in his career.
I was totally going to pick River Craycraft, though, if King didn't, if he was an option.
That is a lot, by the way. King. This Cougs kicker is famous for his 21-year NFL career.
Jason Hansen.
That is correct. Played all of his, by the way, holds the NFL record for most seasons with one team. And I think ever, by the way, like Jason Hansen. Yes.
A lot of Thanksgivings at 9:30 on the couch spent by John Magwell. You know this kid, this Jason Hansen guy from Washington State. With the boom!
College Football Hall of Famer Jason Hansen.
Hey, bonus point for King. Name a second Washington State kicker.
You can win if you name one, by the way.
Yeah.
He's giving
Vincent,
you...
Vincent DiCenzo. Look it up.
Vincent DiCenzo?
No. DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo. Dante DiVincenzo. That's his brother.
Great. That's great. All right, so for the win, Ski.
Ooh.
Who is Washington State's only number one NFL draft pick ever?
Bledsoe?
Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
Ski with a win. Two in a row. 2-2. Let's go.
Streaking. Yes,
that's right. We're going streaking. All right, bonus ones. Before they became the Cougs, in 1918, Washington State had three different coaches who came from the Carlisle Indian School in Pennsylvania. The Cougs had a few problematic names until they changed it to the Cougs in 1919. Can you name one of them?
You want us to say problematic things here?
Sure, problematic Native American names.
The Wheat Shockers.
Yeah. The Blackfeet.
You want me to get on the record and say like the Indians or something?
King, you should should know one of them, King.
Don't.
Chiefs?
The Chiefs. The Chiefs, the Braves, and the Indians. They actually weren't that bad. But they were the Chiefs, the Braves, and the Indians.
What was that? It was a Chappelle. What movie was that with Chappelle where it's like, oh, blackface? He's like, it's black feet, motherfucker.
All right, let's get to our list. our list this week. King, was it your idea?
It was. Last week, Oregon played the Cougars of BYU. So we did top three Cougars.
We sure
did. This week, Oregon plays the Washington State Cougars. So our list this week, top three predatory Cougars.
I thought it was just top three predators. You said predatory Cougars.
Or predatory cats, I mean.
I just did predators, so whatever. Oh. We'll see. All right, your list. You start.
My number three predatory cat is the domesticated house cat. Because people will tell you, if you leave them outside, they're committing genocide on birds. Birds aren't real.
Yeah, that's fake. That's a fake like argument because birds aren't real. Show me one bird.
Show me one bird.
Show me one bird.
You can't.
You can't do it.
Other than Larry.
Larry Bird. Did you ever see the I think we've talked about this before. The Kroll show sketch with Larry Bird where Nick Kroll played Larry Bird. It's the best impersonation of Larry Bird you will ever want or need to see. The best part about it is the fact that he laid down because his back hurt.
Oh,
watch the sketch. It's great. Sketch. He's a rivalry with Magic Johnson. I will fucking end you, Magic Johnson. So good. Anyway, my number three is Bruce from Finding Nemo. It's a shark. It's a predator.
Apex predator.
Bruce. Yeah, love it.
All right. My number three, see, I'm like King. I went with cats.
Predatory cats. I must have read the text wrong. Whatever.
My number three is the ocelot. That's all I got. No follow-up.
I'm going to get the fart sound effect for that.
Ocelota.
That's great.
My number two predatory cat is the cheetah, which according to azanimal.com is number two with a 58% kill rate.
Well, I'm glad you went with cheetah because my number two is cheetah as well. It is Chester cheetah. My number two. I actually went with the predatory cat this time.
Hey, nice. On point there with that. All right. My number two is the Minnesota Lynx.
No follow-up.
Again, I got no follow-up. I got follow-up for my number one. I know follow-ups here.
All right. What's your one, dude?
My number one predatory cat is Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. That's quality work. All right, I haven't been keeping track. Is it my turn or your turn?
Yes, you're number one.
My number one predator, Donald Trump. I have no follow-up.
No follow-up? All right.
No follow-up.
My number one predatory cat, probably the most racist cat, the Sam cat.
You're a poopy head.
I don't know. I just
That was just a button hit.
Yeah.
thought you did have a follow-up for this one. You don't have a follow-up?
I do. It's
Did King step on your follow-up?
A little bit. A little bit.
You're a poopy head.
I had a whole thing about, you know, a sand cat. It lives in the desert. It's kind of, it's a very racist way to call this cat if you looked at it. So.
All right.
That's where I was going with it.
You should play the "You're a poopy head" thing again.
I'm just hitting random buttons.
Did I just hear an awooga? Are you playing commercials?
Yeah. I'm just hitting buttons, baby. Right, I'm just hitting buttons, baby.
Are we getting YouTube right now? All right, fucking, we're done.